Well, good morning. I guess it's a good morning. We made it, didn't we? The sun came up today at your place. It came up at mine. I'm Buddy Martin. We're scrambling this morning. Technology is trying to fight us to a draw as we're putting our team together, our information, looking at last night's videos, trying to make sense out of what happened in the swamp. Come and help us try to make sense of it, will you please? We need your help this morning. I'm Buddy Martin. The program is Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. As soon as we can get the link to Ben Troop, he'll join us. I don't know. I'll just talk for a sec while we're doing this. I know there were a lot of people who died 1,000 deaths last night. It was pretty ugly. But the important thing to remember while we do this is it was a win. It was a win, and when all's said and done, that's what you have to be concerned about. It's the W's, right? And so it's not going to be an easy season. I think you know that by now. And so buckle up. Let's get through this together and see if we can get a hold of Ben Troop. Later on this morning, and Lauren Meadows will join us. He was at the game there last night and saw what you saw. Florida barely eking out a win over a team of its favored by over by 24 points. So good morning, Gary Newton and others, as we buckle up, get ready. Orange and Blue Bloods, Sunday is about to be on the air.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind, because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Bye.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
And yes, it's a good morning despite what happened last night, despite what you thought. I know many of you died 1,000 deaths last night, and I understand. I've been watching this Gator football for a long time. I've seen some crazy games. I've seen some victories. I've seen the defeats. I've seen some upsets. I've seen some on both sides. Last night was one of those games. However you want to classify it, it just was a hard night. As I wrote in my article on GatorBaitMedia.com, and by the way, we apologize for what happened to some of you trying to get on GatorBaitMedia.com last night. It's not easy, and we're working hard. Some kind of bugaboo in the software put something up there, but we're going to get past that. All the articles are posted now. Stick with us. We appreciate it, because this is what drives our show and drives everything we do. My thanks to the team last night, the Swamp, to Brendan and Martin for an outstanding job of putting stuff together, Chad Rich, our team, and of course, they're in the Swamp. We had the crew. We had France Beard, who wrote a really good article this morning. we had Kyle Curtis, our bright young intern. We had Lauren Meadows, who will join us shortly, was there, ask a question or two from the players, including Anthony Richardson. We had Chris Spears shooting some great photographs. All those people coming together. And, of course, you have a couple of articles written by myself and Carlton Reese online as well. So we're working hard for you, trying to get this thing put together. And there are going to be nights like this and days like this. And so, as Ben Troop will tell you, life ain't easy, and neither is football. And this is what we're talking about on an Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. Thanks to the team for waiting through this and getting us through it. I know Ben's had a long day and night, as we all have. Let's go to Orange and Blue Blood Room and see number 84 and see if he's survived last night. And let him preach a little to us on a Sunday, because we could all sure use it. Pastor Ben, good morning to you.
What's going on with you today, buddy?
Craziness. I got a notebook here. It is full of scribbling. I mean, it's full. I scribbled last night. I got notes on here. I don't even know what they mean exactly. Trying to figure this thing out. I frankly didn't think they could pull it out. And at the end of the game, right the last couple of minutes, I was at home last night, and somebody said, are they going to win or lose? I said, you know, I don't know. And usually I have an opinion. In this particular case, I said, as they were driving for a field goal and it looked like South Florida, all credit to them, but the Bulls, were just gliding down the field at will, bashing the defensive front four or whatever. And they were getting the ball down closer. You knew they had a field goal in their back pocket, which would tie the game. And you thought, well, they might pull it out and beat Florida. Now that, I don't want to say it would have been a disaster, but it would have been as close to a disaster as you can get for the program and a major setback. But funny things happen in football, Ben. Things happen. It was Brendan Martin who termed it last night, swamp magic. Elaborate on that, will you?
Well, I think what happens is, buddy, when we think about games like yesterday, right? Yeah, it wasn't pretty, right? It wasn't pretty. But you got to win. And I think sometimes when you think about a team like Florida, we forget the fact that, listen, we're going from one coach to a new coach. We're going from one scheme to a new scheme. Yes, the passing game still ain't what you wanted to be. And I think a guy like Anthony Richardson, I think is in his head right now because, you know, he checked out of a run play to a pass play. He got to give Justin Shorter a better catch because you see the catch Justin Shorter had on the right sideline when he just skied over the guy. So that's just decision making. And the second one, look, you can't throw off your back foot and you got to go through your mechanics or you take away that pick. But Florida did not stop the run yesterday, but neither did USF. And I think, and I don't want to say if this would have been a team of previous years they would have lost. They won the game. USF has never beaten Florida. And I think what has happened, buddy, is I said it on Twitter. I said, look, we got the final outcome that you wanted. It didn't look the way you wanted it to look to get there. But USF is going to look back on it and say this. We had an opportunity to beat Florida, and when it came time to make that kick, you know, it came down to two guys. The kicker and the holder and the snapper. Well, really the holder, not the snapper. But we get a big interception for a touchdown. We run the ball tremendously. And I said this. What did we say before the start of the season, buddy? The running game is going to be our sustainability while the passing game figures out what it's trying. We said this before the season started. Now, yeah. We don't – now, did we want – did we you know, we might have to go to Vegas as well as we predicted this thing. But if you were to tell me, Florida's played two top 25 matchups in USF. They haven't thrown a touchdown pass, and they're 2-1. There ain't too many teams gonna have a win in that scenario, and they got two wins. One against Utah, who's probably gonna still have a really really good shot. The USC and Oregon playing well for the Pac-12, and obviously, as bad as we played against Kentucky, you only gave up 26 points. So for me. No, it's not pretty, but I got to say this to the fan base. We need to calm down because I think people don't understand. Anthony Richardson, yes, I am never going to come on here and make an excuse for him, buddy. Never, never. He's going to have to play better, period. Like, period, period, period. He's going to have to play better. I like the fact that Billy Napier said, look, I didn't mind him checking out of the play on the goal line. He just got to make a better throw. Yeah. I can live with that.
Yeah.
And on the other pick, buddy, listen, you don't have to be a quarterback's coach to understand. I can't throw off my back foot. And a lot of times with a quarterback, it's about anticipation. If I go through it and I throw it more to the right, to the left, it might get caught. It got picked. It happened. Shout out to USF. I think what Florida has to understand is something that it took me a whole year to understand. Everybody wants to beat Florida. Everybody. It boosts your resume in a way that nothing else can, but they didn't win yesterday. With 2-1, you got to go to Tennessee. I said chapter 3 of the University of the 2022 season has a win in the win column, right? It's a check. It didn't look pretty, but look, Brenton Cox, I got to say this. The young man is playing out of his mind.
What a game he had last night.
And listen, Shamar James, big time recruit gets a big time fumble.
Yep.
Right? We get a pick six, which is still very, very hard to do in football. We get
Travis Johnson's great job on catch.
I would say this, buddy. This is a bend not break team, not just a defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keon Zipper said it the best. Great team win. We get so caught up in how it looks sometimes, right? We get
That's really 90% of it, right?
We want to win and look good doing it. But, buddy, you know this. In the grand scheme of things, do we care? Sometimes a little bit too much. Does it matter? Yes and no. Yes, because you want to build on the week before. Well, we lost the week before. So we did build on week two because you won in week three. Mm-hmm. Now, the schedule's not going to get any easier, and it's not supposed to. But Anthony Richardson, he has to know this. Your job is to take the bitter with the sweet. Your job is to say, hey, man, this is what I signed up for. And not everybody can be the starting quarterback in college football. Most will never, ever even sniff being the starting quarterback in Florida. But I can appreciate I try to find the wins. This run game, Naquan, oh, my God, Montrell, Etienne, these guys are –
beast.
I mean,
beast.
They're keeping us afloat. It's like this though, buddy. I don't think Anthony Richardson is gonna be a 300-yard passer. He don't gotta be. He needs to not give the ball to the other team. You take away the two picks, right? It's a total different game. But they still won. So I will take it. I think that I can't use Twitter as my barometer of consciousness, or I'll lose my freaking mind. But I will say this to the University of Florida.
What is your Twitter account? Someone just asked.
@BenTroop84.
Okay.
But I will say this, buddy. This is how long I've been around the game to understand what it is. Mm-hmm. I said this. You play this game long enough, you're going to win some games you should have lost. You're going to lose some games you should have won. Mm-hmm. We should have lost last night, but we one.
That's an important point right there. That's a very – excuse me if I interrupt you, Ben. I'm sorry. But what you said there, in essence, is really what it is, and that is why, and we'll analyze this, the swamp magic came into play, okay? Yes. I mean, look, it happened. I'm going to look at my notes here. They're all over the place right here. I got it written down. First 10, 21, Bohannon goes for 5 yards. There's less than 50 seconds to play. And they're driving down the field. They're at the 16-yard line, okay? And it looked like they've been moving the ball and gashing the defense all night. And so then on third down, snap over the head. And that took it from a second and 5 to a third and 20. I wrote down here, Brenton Cox, just all over the field last night. And that play, that snap, changed everything. Because now is third and 20 at the 32. Okay, and they cannot get the first down. So what do? They rely on their kicker, which is all they got, because tying it up goes to overtime. And then, oh my gosh, the snap was made. The ball was snapped. The holder fumbled the ball, and the kicker tried to get it airborne and couldn't, and Florida wins the game. Things happen that fast, man, when there's swamp magic going on.
It is, and think about this. I try to look at it from both spectrums. If I'm USF, I am saying all you had to do is not panic.
Yeah,
panic is a real thing because you know how it is. But the hardest yard is the yard. It's not the 1 yard. It's the yard that everybody knows you got to get. It's Florida versus Ole Miss. Everybody know you need a 1 yard. They couldn't get it. You said what the season ended up becoming. You will look back on these games and you will say how much character was built, because this Florida team says, look, man, we all in these meeting rooms, and they saying it's going to take all of us. People be like, yeah, until it does. Until Shamar James comes up with a big fumble. But I will say this. It's third and 18. They run the football. USF gets 21 yards. You know how rare that is? Third and 18 means I'm just going to settle for the run, kick the ball, you know, get a couple of yards, kick it. They get 21 yards. So the offense was getting ready to go off the field. No, man, we got 21 yards. That's character building. You don't miss a Ventrell Miller till he's gone. You don't realize
how big. Oh, my gosh, Ventrell Miller. Talk about for a minute. They're what they miss on him.
And I think what happens is, buddy, we forget. There are certain guys that, everybody is replaceable in sports. Everybody. But the impact is hard to replace. Ventrell Miller, he's getting guys lined up. He's not missing many tackles, and he's around the ball. It's a total different game yesterday if he's out there. And I think sometimes, you know, even the Justin Shorters of the world, the Whittemores of the world, the Zippers of the world, these guys on the offensive side.
Whittemore got a catch last night.
One for 33 yards. Yeah. But I said this. This was said to me. They said being the hardest thing you're going to ever do is be a first-team All-SEC player. That is going to be the hardest. I said, what do you mean? Because, dude, do you know how consistent you have to be to do that? Game in, game out, play in, play out, series in, series out. And I think these guys are – I said this, buddy, my senior year, this team was built very similar. You got a bunch of skill guys who don't have – they got big names, but you waiting on them to come together as a group. A great running game. We had Deshaun Wynn. We had Siadric Faison. So we had our Naquans. We had our Montrells. We had our, you know, ETNs. But I will say this again, buddy, and I'm going to keep on reiterating this. We either mean what we say or not. It's either all kinds of weather or not. It's either orange or blue bloods or not.
Yeah, there you go. Because it's a test. It's a test. I'm telling you, it's a test.
Think about it, buddy. The people that take losses and wins the roughest are the ones that have no control over the outcome, and that is us. We take it rough. But I said this. Only at the University of Florida, when we win games, we get more scrutiny than when we lose them. When we win games, it should have been. No, they won. And Billy Napier, we said this. Billy Napier is a first-year coach trying to establish his culture. I know we thought we're going to just breeze through, and that's Dan Mullen got us thinking that because of his first year. Billy Napier ain't Dan Mullen. He don't got to be. I just think that at the end of the year, we're going to look back on this season and say, what do we build from it? And I think we build a character every single week. I said the running game is going to be what our personality is on offense. I said that.
Yeah, you did say that.
Once Anthony Richardson plays with confidence, just play with confidence.
Yeah.
Because he ain't even having to rush the – listen, he don't even got to run the ball like he used to. Yeah, he don't have to the run game. But I will say this, buddy. I like – three takeaways on defense. Did not stop the run. I don't know how long Ventrell Miller's going to be out, but we got to go ahead and grow up. Just because you got 4 and 5 stars next to your name, can you play like that? You have to play up to that. But we won the game. I'll take it. A lot of good things to take from it. And I will say this. Go look at the offensive line play of Florida again.
Oh, my
look
gosh. Wow. The right side was beast.
It is. Buddy, how many years – you do realize during the Dan Mullen era, we didn't even try to run the ball, right? We didn't even try to run it.
Yeah. Well, around it wide, but up to the middle, yeah.
We got a former running back in Damian Pierce, who's a starter as a rookie, starting in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think, buddy, it's hard to get away from it. Listen, Kyle Trask, Felipe Franks, throwing the ball around. Now we're running the football. And we got to get back to the running game to complement it. But we're fine. We're 2-1 after 3 games. I know Tennessee wasn't going to be an easy out. First road test, we'll see what we made of. But if you're Anthony Richardson, once again, who are you this Saturday? I don't care where you were the first 3 Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Who are you this Saturday? Don't worry about what is being said. Please don't look at social media if you're trying to get any type of confidence. So, you know, I just think that at the end of the day, buddy, I'm rocking with the squad. I just think that
we got to do
Orange and Blue Blood says it the best, man. It's in our veins. And I will say this to give us, you know, a little less scrutiny. They say you love something the most when you criticize it the most. And I'm believing that now.
Yeah.
The thing we love the most, we criticize it the most. But the thing is, but we have to be our own, you know, we have to talk ourselves out the list. It's all right, people. Because, buddy, you know, just like I know, you know how much worse it could be. It could be so much worse. But Anthony Richardson, he knows now, being this super gifted, freakishly athletic player, that ain't enough. It's great that you have them. It's great that you have gifts, but the gifts are only useful once you play the quarter, and I'm not saying he's just awful. Now I'm not doing that either. I'm never gonna do that because I've never been in his position. But buddy, you know just like I know, if I want to be a journalist, and I didn't go to journalism school, and I'm not taking and I don't have a mentor, that means that I don't know how good of a writer I am because I'm not going through the necessary steps. This man has the best coaches with some of the best players in the country. Go out there and get it done because he knows now. Hey man, you look good in the uniform, man. You got a chance to be a bad man, but stop listening to Tom Mashay. Stop listening to, the Mel Kiper. Stop looking at these big boards. Go out there, and I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but go out there and play. But at the end of the day, we 2-1 USF. You know what they're saying, buddy? We had our shot. That was it. Last night was our shot to get it done, and it came down to things that it's not getting a good snap twice. You get a bad snap to the quarterback, then you get a good snap to the holder, and he just botches it. At the end of the day, I'm a box score guy. The box score said Florida won, we'll take it. Cause buddy, Tennessee right now, you know what's good about it? They don't know what they're gonna get. They like, hey bro, we know they're gonna run the ball. We don't know how this passing game gonna look. Mm-hmm. But you got to show up every week. It wasn't pretty yesterday. Shout out to Billy Neighbor getting the win number 2. It wasn't pretty, but we got it, man. And like I said, we said best case scenario in this 4-game stretch, first 4 games, 3-1. Worst case, 2-2. We still got a shot to go 3-1. We'll see what happens. Rocky Top is gonna be rocking for real, buddy. But the good part about it is, you watch the game, take an hour, breathe. Look at it again, breathe. And the third time, it's like looking at your favorite movie. You still find the things in your favorite movie. I ain't never noticed that. Look at the game. Don't look at the watch the mistakes. And I can only really watch games I already know the ending of it anyway. If we would have lost, it's harder to watch it. But they'll be fine. I think that when it comes to the passing game, buddy, it's a slow and steady process. It's like me, you, and NIL. We didn't know what NIL was. We jumped right on this platform, didn't we? We didn't know what it was. Jumped right on here, and now we 25 players in or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna leave the X's and O's to the coaches, to Billy Knapp and Patrick Tony and them. And listen, anybody calling Patrick Tony Ty Grantham, you've lost your mind. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is disrespectful for the simple fact that we couldn't buy a pick when we had T. Grant, and they ain't had nothing to do with T. Grantham, but we getting pick sixes. So I'll take it. It wasn't as pretty as we wanted it to be, but USF, I don't know if they flew. I don't know if they flew or drove. It ain't that far to Tampa, but whatever it was a long drive or a long flight. Cause they're like, dude, they scratching their head this morning in Tampa saying over there, over there for Bruce B. Downs. I know old USF is saying, hey man, so guess what? They still got a 0 in the win column against Florida all time. And we'll take the win, buddy. And, I know you and Lauren and Brendan was watching the game. Florida faithful keep showing up. Don't let it get to you that much. Because, buddy, we We can't stand it right after the game. What we say? See y'all next week. see y'all, boy. Because what else are we going to do? I wish I would see somebody put on that creamsicle Tennessee orange. I wish. Y'all better sit y'all behinds down, man. We love the players, man. It's going to be all right. Shannon Snell, my former teammates, the things they say are right. Brenton Cox, sir, I don't know what you drunk before this game. Drank it again next Saturday because, boy, he's making himself a lot of money because everybody knew he was a pass rusher.
Yeah.
But everything else he's doing, Ventrell, please get healthy, sir. We miss you. I hope you ain't out too long.
All right, Brother Ben in the house. Preaching this morning, Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. Let's hear it. All right, we're going to tee it up here for a second. We're going to play a bite from Coach Napier. And we're going to go back and look at both sides of the ledger. The side you just talked about, which is Orange and Blue Blood side. And then for those who are frustrated, want to make a comment about whatever. Some things are not, they were saying they're lucky. Let's be honest, lucky to win last night. But in football, if you're any good, you got to be lucky and win some games that maybe you shouldn't have. And that's what Ben's talking about right there. And so good job there, Pastor, bringing it to us on a Sunday morning and giving us what we need to know. We're going to take a break here and play Napier Bite and then bring Lauren in. But I wanted to say, last night after the game, you heard some of the comments. Billy tries to put a positive spin on it. He was asked, what positive did you see? He said, I like the way they fight. They're fighters. Oddly enough, that's the same thing that Brian Kelly said last night after almost losing to Mississippi State. I know they pulled it out in the second half. But then imagine them losing that game. Jimbo Fisher, if he lost that game. This is college football. It's what makes it a great game. You always got a shot, right? Now last night was kind of close to being a very, very bad Saturday night for Gator fans. But guess what? As been pointed out, what had to happen, happened. Need to have a break somewhere. Mistakes are made, man, and you got to sometimes cover your mistakes. I think there are a lot of things to be disappointed about, but there are a lot of things to be grateful about. And I think one of the biggest things was, and I'm guilty of this, I have my expectations of number 15 were all, I predicted he'd go for 5 touchdowns last night. Guess how many he went for? None. I thought he'd run for 2 and then he'd throw for 3. He got none. And that is really an aberration. And guys like me saying things like that without justification is on me. That's a bad. But I did really expect him to have a big. So let's talk about a few of the disappointments that we saw. And then we'll get to the positive, which you saw 103-yard rushing night for a guy who gave everything he had last night. And by the way, Johnson is a special player. That breakaway run for 62 yards, that was such a huge play. And I'm going to say this about Trevor Etienne. When they got down there where they needed a touchdown, they gave the ball to him 4 straight times. 4 straight times. Osiris Torrance and whoever else is on the right side, blowing people up. And Etienne, and Etienne just balling. He was balling. He was a freshman. They trusted him to give him the ball. He busted in there, and on the 4th time scored the touchdown. That was on a night when they couldn't score and get the ball in the end zone. That was huge. That was a really big moment right there. And you mentioned the offensive line. I wish I had all their names in front of me. I don't. I know Cyrus Torrance was fantastic. You mentioned B. Cox. What a night he had. How about those key plays by guys like Travis Johnson, the interception, those moments when they had to have it. And let me say one other thing before we go to play this bite. If you look at the film, and I haven't done a watch back, Ben, you could tell me this if I'm right or wrong. When you got Jermon Dexter and Brenton Cox and guys like that, and Big Dez Watson, by the way, let's give it up for Dez Watson, banging on you all night long, right? And we're banging on you at the end. You're going to make mistakes, like a bad snap or whatever, right? I mean, those guys, give those guys a little credit. Those guys were banging on the way. And then you got the Swamp people coming through as they did, making the noise, causing USF to have a false start penalty. Those things matter, don't they, Ben?
Yep, and listen, I'm happy that you mentioned Big Dez. I'm happy that you mentioned Big Dez, buddy. Big Dez wear number 21. That is the smallest 21 I've ever. Either he real big or the 21 real small. But I will say this, buddy. This is why I can appreciate the Orange and Blue Blood podcast. This is why I can appreciate it. Because we should call it the Orange and Blue Blood Appreciation Podcast. Because you can appreciate what these guys are really doing. Like, I don't want to give no other teams no credit, but we think that going undefeated, going to the college football playoff, we think it's easy to do because we at Florida, you got the infrastructure, we got the players. But I think, buddy, what happens is winning is like a muscle. You got the training. You got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to do it consistently. Etienne mama is in the stands. So she's watching youngest son on Saturday because she get to drive up to Jacksonville and watch older son on Sunday, right? And you're talking about Montrell. Yeah. The reason why Montrell came over, because Montrell knew these running backs got to know how to run this offense. And look at how much better he is. So, man, I'm just happy for these guys, buddy. But like I said, When Spurrier was there with me, we go 10-2, 10-3, winning the SEC, winning, you know, going to the Orange Bowl. And then Ron Zook comes in. And people like, y'all guys have forgot how to win. No, we got to retrain our mind. We train our bodies. But they won the game. So, for me, I just can't appreciate the fact, buddy, man. Listen, Mr. Two-Bit said it the best. All we supposed to be doing is rooting them on. I don't know when we got all these analysts. We got so many analysts now that don't get paid for their analytics. I ain't never seen it before. It's like, it's like, dude. I mean, buddy.
We'll get an analyst to figure that out for you. So.
Well, no, buddy. You really cover the team, right? You and Lauren and me, we cover the team. And this is what we
France,
do.
Yeah.
France. When you cover the team, what you're supposed to be doing is this. Hey, man, show me the bright spots. Well, first and foremost, we won the game. Okay, so that was the objective. The objective?
Yeah.
Win the game. Won the game. Okay. What about number two? Okay, we want to run the football. Check. Okay, we ran the football. Okay. You want to win the turnover battle. Okay, we won that. We had three. They had two. Okay. Who had the time? So I don't know if we won the time of possession. We won the turnover battle. I got to look at the third down percentage. QBR, we didn't win that. I know we didn't win that, probably. But we won the game. Buddy, we are doing things that don't supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have two picks. You're not supposed to have a QBR rating of what Anthony Richardson had. You're not supposed to have these things and win. But guess what? Somebody forgot to tell the Florida Gators, hey, fellas, if y'all finding a way to win ball games like this, you know how much better y'all going to be down the road? Y'all going to be hard to deal with. And I think that's what I take from it. So at the end of the day, you know, buddy, I don't know if you can hear the waves in the background, but I'm sitting here. You know, with the wave and the sun.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, making sure. But, buddy, at the end of the day, I know this. I remember when Willie Taggart first got to Florida State. He was only there a year and some change. I watched former Florida State players going at each other on social media. And you know how bad that makes the program look? As a former player, no matter how I feel, it's going to be positive. It doesn't matter how, because I didn't know this. I'm a part of the media. You're a part of the media. If I say something crazy, I'm going to end up on a soundbite board in Tennessee somewhere saying, even former Florida Gator being Tube State, I'm not giving no ammunition. We won the game. Number 15 is our quarterback. Love him. Love our running backs. Osiris Torrance, just like Brandon Cox. Y'all boys, I don't know what the draft going to be, but I know y'all going to get invited. The way y'all playing, y'all boys going to, but at the end of the day, buddy, I'll take it. I'll take the dub. I ain't tripping. Anybody that got something to say doesn't appreciate winning. Anybody that got something to say does not appreciate winning, because at the end of the day, first, Dan Mullen got to go. He's gone. First, we need a new coach. Got it. First, we got to find a way to run the ball. Boom. First, we got to find a way to win hard games. Hard games, listen, stop getting caught up in 24.5-point favor. Who cares? Won the game. Shout out to USF. Shout out to them Bulls. But I'm going with them Gators. We'll take it.
Yeah, Billy Napier, we're going to hear for just a second. Lawrence standing by there. We said, look, nobody believes him. He said, I think USF was a quality team. He said, and people say, well, yeah, come on now, you're favored by. He said, look, I don't care who they lost or who they won. The team we played gave us all we wanted. They're a good football team, and that's how we're going to look at it. And like we say, a dub is a dub. Let's hear what Billy said last night. Stand by for a second, Ben. Go get your coffee, and we'll be right back and have Lauren here. Good stuff from Preacher Ben today. And we'll see what Coach Napier had to say.
They made mistakes. We made mistakes, but we made enough plays to win. So I don't think we, you know, I know that sometimes that's part of the profession. But in our world, you know, I don't really care about who they played or what their record is or, you know, what the outside world thinks about it, right? We beat South Florida tonight, and I think they got a good football team. I think we'll see as time goes there that they're going to continue to be a factor in their conference. So, you know, I think that what we're learning about our team is that we've got the intangibles. We need to improve execution, and certainly did enough to win tonight, but we got work to do. You know, nobody.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Got work to do. We know about that. We can talk about it. So I'm one of the guys that there was our football analyst. Lauren Meadows was there last night. I saw him asking questions in the press conference. I haven't been able to get that soundbite up, but we got Lauren this morning. Let's say good morning to the coach and the analyst. Lauren Meadows, what's up, Lauren?
Good morning. How's everybody?
Well, Ben's been preaching to us this morning and getting
yeah, I heard.
Yeah, getting us through the day. Orange and Blue Blood Sundays can be kind of tough. And both of you heard Billy's soundbite, which is nothing revolutionary. But let's get a quick thought from you, Lauren, and get back to Ben. I want to talk about the things that are real and the things that might be imaginary and the global view of these Florida Gators. Your comments on last night, Lauren.
South, I will agree with Billy Napier. One of the first things he said is South Florida had a great design. I mean, they came in and offensively, particularly, really challenged Florida's defense with forcing the eye discipline at all three levels. I thought they involved the quarterback in the run game extremely well. I wrote in my piece earlier this week that Gary Bohannon, being someone who had helped Baylor go to the Big 12 championship game last year, could be a threat both through the air and with his legs. And Jeff Scott and his staff kind of took the latter and really put pressure on Florida's defense with some of the things that Gary Bohannon was doing. I thought South Florida played extremely hard on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. And it's just one of those things where, you know, we, once again, you know, we have guys open and we just miss them. And like I said, not to point the finger at anybody, but, you know, unfortunately, it was not the clean, efficient game that we expected. I thought that, you know, getting Anthony Richardson to about 18 throws was a good idea. I thought we, you know, kind of focused on the run game. And I think that's ultimately what carried us through, is the fact that, you know, we were able to rush the ball for over 6 yards a clip. And, you know, that was one of the big differences in the football game. Obviously, like Ben said, when you win the turnover margin, the opportunity to win goes up substantially. It was 3-2, particularly the big pick six towards the end of the first half. And those points matter. It doesn't necessarily matter when it comes, but those points matter. And, you know, we also had a big turnover after the turnover down on the goal line by Anthony Richardson, who, you know, Napier kind of explained what happened there. But the defense bowed up, got a turnover, and then Florida went in and scored what turned out to be the winning touchdown. So not the prettiest game, but, you know, at the end of the day, it is a win. Montrell Johnson kind of stated that it kind of felt like a loss, and, you know, particularly fresh off the win. A lot of guys will say that, particularly a young player like himself, who I'm sure holds himself and his teammates to a high standard. But at the end of the night, not their best game, but I will caution people, you know, one or two ways. You can look at it one or two ways. Does a close win against South Florida mean a Tennessee loss? I'll go back to kind of what a lot of boxing trainers say, is that styles make fights. So what that means is, because fighter A beat fighter B, and then, you know, fighter B then lost to C or vice versa, when it comes time for A and D to go at it, doesn't necessarily mean, because, you know, this particular team beat this team, and Billy kind of cautioned against that as well. You know, styles make fights, and like Ben said, and I think Ben can attest to this, in a lot of Florida players' minds, they don't lose to Tennessee. It's just the way it is. So they'll be extremely comfortable going into that venue. But, you know, it's 3 days to fine tune it. And like I said in my piece that I just published, you know, Billy Napier talked about celebrating. You know, you always want to celebrate the wins. I would say here in about probably 10 to 15 minutes, when they reconvene as a staff and a program, that'll be the end of the celebrating once they watch the film. But that's a good thing. You know, now that gives you opportunity to know what you need to work on. You can see things on film. And any football team that's not trying to get better after week three, I don't know what else they have to prove. So I think that's where they'll be. So I think the attention to detail will be there. And, you know, they'll go into Knoxville ready to play football.
All right, Coach Meadows, and you see I changed hats. I put my media hat, my hat back, my media hat back on now, and we're going to address some touchy subjects that people are talking about in a common sense way. And I'll just be honest. I don't think Billy called a really good game last night. I think there were some calls that I questioned. Didn't feel right at the time. Second, we know that Anthony really didn't get any better last night. He didn't get any better. He kept making the overthrows again last night. Had no soft touches. I think he made one really good throw. Well, two really good throws on the long pass. The shorter was one. So we didn't see a lot of progress there. You look at what South Florida did, gashing what they had, 400 yards in offense, 402, gashing Florida's front seven for big chunks of yardage. And Bohannon had his way with the defense. He rushed himself over 100 yards. So those are the questions that the fans and critics are asking this morning. And I understand that. And it's okay to ask questions and have doubts. It's fine. So let's address those. Ben's starting with you, what I just said about Billy's play calling, AR not getting better, the defense getting gashed. Ben?
It's easy to say play calling didn't work when a coach has nothing to do with overthrows. Coach has nothing to do with checking out of plays on the goal line, making a bad throw. I don't think it was a bad game plan because we know it's going to be more run and pass. And the reason why it can't be as many more passes is because he's watching the same game we watching. He's saying, look, 18 throws is still a lot for a guy that's not throwing the football well. Anthony Richardson got to want to do the small thing. You can't – if I can't hit guys that's wide open, now it's going to be hard for me. Justin Short, that play he made on the right sideline, that's all him. He climbed the ladder and made a snag.
40 yards.
But you know what he's saying to AR? Trust us, man. But I will say this. When it comes to the play calling, it all depends on the game. Like you go into a game with I want to do certain things, and if certain things ain't working, I got to go deeper into the one thing about the run game has been very, very, very – it's been our saving grace. But number 5, a lot of it has to do with number 15 decision-making. If he's making better decisions with the football, he touches the ball every play, you don't – I'm going to say this every week. I'm not going to blame coaches for what players control. You control out there. So number 15 got to put it in his mind. The receivers got to put it in his mind. We got to make plays throwing the football and coming out with the ball. Yes, it's easy to say, and I will say this. I know that the receivers, they got to do a better job. They got to separate. Guys are going to get one-on-one. They're not going to be bracketing anybody. It's going to be one-on-ones. But I just think that at the end of the day, when you think about what Billy Napier has to deal with, Billy Napier has to do two things. I have to coach a football team and make sure number 15 doesn't lose confidence. I have to keep saying things that help him boost. I don't know what it is. Lauren, you was there. I don't know what it is, but it's got to be something that only Anthony Richardson can control. No one else can get in his head. And like I said, he has all the gifts, has all the tools. I think what's going to happen is until we're put in a situation that he has to throw the football to win, you know, because right now the run game is saving us. And for those of you who are thinking that Utah wasn't a quality win, look at who they played since and look at how many points they scored. Don't think that you didn't play a quality team as well as Kentucky. But I don't get caught up in that. You know, if he called a bad game and we won, what are they going to say if he calls a bad game and we don't win? It just comes with it, I think, right now. But it's Anthony Richardson, and it's his confidence. It ain't his ability. It's his confidence. Like we said this. We know you got a fastball. Work on that slider, man. Work on that changeup. Work on that footwork. Because on that second pick, that's all footwork. I don't know what he rushed it, threw it too fast, and it's like he was playing catch with the linebacker. He was literally standing right in front of him when he picked it off. But it'll be – as a player that's went through a slump before, as Ron Zook told me, hey, man, it's up to you. It's in between years now, man. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. Coach said I went to my excuse box and I took out every last excuse I got for you. I ain't got no more. It's up to you now. You're the starting quarterback of Florida, and unfortunately, you guys know Buddy and Lauren. No one's gonna care anyway. No one's gonna feel bad for number 15. I'm sorry, that's not how life goes, man. You're the starting quarterback at Florida. What, I don't know how much money you make in the NIL deals. That ain't my business, but you cashing them checks, right? Yes, you cashing every one of them. Go out there and just play football. You don't have to be Superman. And if he does that, we'll be fine. Because like I said, there was no pleasing. Listen, I mean, to the married guys out there, I'm not married currently. I'm going to be getting married one day here soon. And the fan base is like a disgruntled wife. You can't please her no matter what. I don't care what we do. I'm just saying, get her the car she want, don't like it. You want the house, don't like it. So some of us are just meant to be miserable, and I think that's a lot of our fan base. Some of us just like to be disgruntled. If we win a game 100-0, you know what they're going to say? It ain't 101. I'm just – so I don't know what to say about some of our fan bases. We won the game. I know it was ugly, but we did win.
Yeah, and after the game, and we'll address this with Lauren too, Anthony said the right things. We got to find a way to keep on pushing, and that's it. And that's the message. And he said the right things. And Billy said we need to do the simple, easy things. Right? He's right. They do. We got to win. We got a lot of work to do, etc. All the right things. But then he didn't get the results. They got the results, which is a win. But the things in between didn't go so well. And fans are a little angry right now. And that's fans. Lauren, your take on the things I just asked about. The defense got gashed on big running plays. Anthony Richardson did not play well. And the play calling didn't look great. Your thoughts, Lauren?
Well, I'm gonna hit a couple things. So I want to say this first and foremost, and put it to bed. To question Anthony Richardson's maturity is discredit, or however you want to say,
disrespectful.
That's disrespectful to him. And I'm gonna. I mean, I'm I. That is disrespectful to him. He is as mature as a young man at his age that he should be. Now, with that said, his maturity as a quarterback is constant. It's a growth. It's something that needs to happen and continue to happen. I will say that when it comes to Billy Napier's play calling, if I have to say there's one negative that I would say is I think as a play caller, sometimes you have to help your quarterback out. And I'm not sure sometimes that Billy Napier helps Anthony Richardson. And what I mean by that is we talk about the play down the goal line. It's first and 10, and they condense the formation, which, you know, I thought they had South Florida outflanked there to the defensive left side. And they could just ran a little toss player outside zone. They had him outflanked. But the option on the play was to run that play or whatever play it was going to be, or throw a one-on-one to Justin Shorter backside. Now, not every play has that. So, to me, in a game like that, you want to take that option away to just help Anthony get in there, run the play, have some success, and come to the sideline, which they probably would have scored on that play, with a smile on his face. But instead, it leads to a second interception, and now you got these people questioning Anthony's maturity, saying he wanted to get his first touchdown pass and all that kind of thing. He missed a wide-open Justin Shorter. The play was pass interference, but if he hits that, that's his first touchdown pass. I mean, I don't think you go into it saying, hey, this is the close game, and I'm going to have my first touchdown pass. As far as the defense is concerned, I wrote in my piece earlier the week, one of the things that I think was overlooked and I probably didn't highlight it as much is that Gary Bohannon for, a year and a half, I'm not sure how long he'd been at Baylor, saw that exact same defense that Patrick Toney runs every day. Every single day he saw the creepers and all those kind of things. And I think the familiarity with that defense kind of got him through last evening a little bit. I mean, he wasn't perfect as well. I mean, he had his struggles and obviously threw two costly picks that may have cost USF the game. But I think the familiarity that Gary Bohannon had with Patrick Toney's defense, but also the familiarity with just playing in big games and being in situations where he's played at Oklahoma. He's played at Oklahoma State. So the swamp may not have had the effect that it would normally have. But, I mean, I think that, like I said, I thought that I would see a cleaner game plan from the Florida Gators. Obviously, like I said, we need to hang our hat on the run game. But, you know, like I said last week, they have 130, 140 sample plays. Now you got another 70. You got 200 plays to start to figure out what Anthony Richardson does best. I don't think at any point with him only being in his third start in the system that is even close to giving any quarterback other than Anthony Richardson reps in a close ball game right now. I think the young man needs to continue to grow. And, you know, you're going to have to go through the growing pains this year with Anthony. But, you know, the one thing I will say is I do, and this is the last I'll put my media hat on too. I don't love the constant two personnel groupings. You sent me a text and asked me why Ricky Pearsall
didn't somebody texted me that last night.
Yeah, and it was because, and I think I texted you back, they were in 22 personnel, they were in 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends, and then two receivers, and he kind of comes in as that third slot. So it was the set that they were in, and I think that, you know, just one of those things going forward, I would like to see him maybe spread it out a little bit. See if that could open not only running lanes, continue to open the running lanes for the offense as far as running backs are concerned, but also even to me sometime, and Ben can speak to this being in the NFL, I think sometimes when the formation is not as condensed, it gives the quarterback a little better read. It gives him some visibility with his reads and things like that. So and right now, I just don't – I mean, Zipper, I think, can be a factor in the throwing game. It's almost like Zanders is just like a six linemen in some ways. He's not really threatening. So just, you know, maybe some ways to open some things up. Maybe, you know, dare I say, and I'll say it this way, maybe find some things that Anthony was comfortable with the last 2 years and try to incorporate those things into this offense as well. Because like one time they literally ran a two-man route. It was two stop routes at about 15 yards off play action. And yes, Anthony's got to know you got one of the two, and both guys were open. But, you know, just continuously understanding what the role of the play fake and the threat of the run is, and allow him to just continue to as a passer. But
all right, good comments. Kind of all right, so now I want to come back and get your final thoughts on where do we go from here? Tennessee game coming up, but I got a bite here. From I think it's from Anthony Richardson. I'm not sure what it is. Let me put this on. We'll come back.
I feel like I'm growing, you know, honestly. Just knowing what the defense is about to do and knowing what we want to do according to that defense. You know, we were talking about that all week. Talked about it earlier today. They did this. You want to take to this. And I was talking to Montrell. He said he was happy I checked into it because he saw himself. You know, so just being able to know the offense a little bit and just recognize the coverage a little bit. It helps when you're trying to make plays.
Sticking with the run game, Anthony, how do you feel like that production was tonight, you know, kind of from that three-headed monster you guys got?
I feel like it definitely saved us. You know, couldn't really do much in the air. You know, that's, you know, fallbacks on me and not giving my guys a chance to, you know, get the ball. But the O-line and the running backs there, they're saving us, and I'm glad that we can count on them when the time does come.
You got off to a good start. You were 7-9 in the first half. What changed at halftime in the third quarter? What adjustments did they make, or was it your performance, or how would you evaluate the second half?
They didn't really change much. You know, they kept their defense pretty much the same. They were bringing certain pressures, running pretty much the same coverage. You know, it's just me trusting the routes and the combos, you know, trusting the progression, and just getting through it a little quicker. You know, I was a little slow on a few plays, especially the first interception. You know, I should have trusted that pass to Shorter. And I should have threw it to him instead of trying to get back to Ricky late. But, you know, it's just, I just trusted my own offense.
It
second week in a row that you've kind of been hobbling around at times. Is there anything going on with your ankle or foot at this point that might be limiting you?
Nah, not really limiting me. You know, it's just some plays when you're out there on the field, you're getting banged up. You know, it's football, it happens. You know, try not to show it too much, but sometimes I am in pain. I just got to stay in the training room, get treatment, rehab, recover.
And as we say, guys, that's football. You get banged up. Any thoughts? I'm sorry that was so low. It's just the quality they gave us. Anybody want to comment on Anthony's answers or Ben or what you saw there? Because here's what I want to go back to. He admitted against Kentucky he lost his confidence. In my story last night, I wrote about how the quarterback was still looking for his confidence in the tall grass of Steensbury Field. And you could tell right off the bat when the ball came off his hand, he missed open receivers. He threw the ball high. I mean, he didn't have a horrible night. It was just not a very good night. And he didn't make plays with his feet. So what do we got here? And then where do we go from here? Ben, go ahead, your comments on a guy losing his confidence. Do we think he'll be able to regain it?
Well, first, I want to make sure I reiterate something. When I said what I said about Anthony Richardson NIL deal, I feel just like going, I'm not questioning his maturity. I'm just talking about the microscope that's on him. It's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every single week. I appreciate the fact that this young man is standing up there and he's taking questions. See, the thing about Anthony Richardson is we ain't used to him being vulnerable on behind that mic. We used to, hey, man, I'm fine. Everything is good. No, I lost my confidence. He was honest about it. But in that same regard, if I'm the player rep, or if I'm in charge of him being there, I'm telling him, dude, you got to get it back to him. Because at the end of the day, it is 90% mental out there. And I don't know what it's like to be a quarterback. He said, hey, man, the running game saved us. We didn't do much in the air. But he knows that we're gonna have to pull our weight here sooner rather than later. And you make a great point, Lauren. When you look at some of the best quarterback play in the country, how long have they been in offense? Like, how long has Stetson Bennett been in that offense? How long has Hendon Hooker been in that offense? That being comfortable in an offense has more to do with your ability than ability itself. If I'm comfortable in it, now I'm just reacting. I'm not thinking anymore. And for people getting mad at Anthony Richardson for three games, it took me 3 years, three, to figure out what I'm doing, how I'm supposed to be doing it, and to be able to go out there and execute it. And I just play tight end. But I respect what he's saying. He's not – listen, he's looking – I didn't know this was important, buddy. But when somebody asks him a question, he's looking at who he's talking to. That's maturity.
Yep.
Most
yep.
guys just answer it. I'm not trying to give no – that's maturity. I'm looking at you. Because he's not – it's almost like looking at him saying, listen, I'm going to answer your question. But do understand, I'm 20 years old at the biggest brand in the state of Florida. I play quarterback, and I wear number 15. So, and I told him, the 2022 Florida Gator chapter of football, the third chapter is a win. And the growth of every football team, I don't care who you are, to win, that quarterback is going to have to make some throws. And I think that it's going to build character for him down the stretch. But I respect what he's doing. Like, for those people that talk about amateurism, all that stuff, why are these boys doing interviews after games? That's what pros do. They have to stand up there. I used to win, lose. I put on my stuff. I walk through the weight room. I high-five a couple of family members that I know. When I go home, I don't talk to nobody. Now, I can't even go home. I got to shower up, put on a Florida Gator shirt, and walk in the media room and ask a question. I respect it. I really, really do. Because to me, him doing that, and him admitting that I lost my confidence against Kentucky, didn't have my best game against USF, I appreciate the run game, that's either going to help him so much in the future, or he's going to continue to work it out. Because guess what? Against Tennessee, that's his fourth career start at Neyland Stadium. Lord, gee, 100. It's going to be whatever the record is, they're trying to break it this Saturday. I guarantee it. But the more he struggles and the more he grows through it, the better he's going to be. And unfortunately, that's football. It's easy to show up, man, when you balling. It's hard to show up when you not. He going to keep showing up. And when they ask him about his ankle, you heard what he said? Hey, man, I get treatment. I go back out there. I'm hurting. So, like, I'm going to get – I respect you, AR. And I know I ain't going to – you know, I really do, because like I said, sometimes Buddy and Lauren is doing that, taking the bruises, sitting right there answering them questions. Mm. That's where I'm growing the most, because he would love to just – no. I would love to just tuck my tail and walk up out of there. But to much is given, much required, man. That's a part of his requirements. And wherever Florida ends up in 2022, it will be because of those interactions. I guarantee it. What he's doing after the game is going to do more for him, because that's a part that most kids don't understand. I can't even walk away after a bad one. I got to take it. So I respect it. He's going to grow from it. And when, as you mentioned, Lauren, when his ability and gifts catch up to what he's doing, it is going to be hell to pay, because now he knows what he's doing. Because it's only been – listen, he was trying to learn Dan Mullen. Now he got to throw that away. Now he got to do this one. So, hey, man, I respect it, buddy. That's what I get for those press conferences. That's the greatest growth they're going to get. And I'm happy that they don't get them mock interviews. No, give me the real one after the game. That's my mock. My mock interview is the real one. I respect it.
Well said, and you're right. And, Lauren, what kind of advice can we give a young man? When you lose your confidence as an athlete, we've all had it. Like Ben said, you can't get coached out of it. You got to go do it yourself. You got to take the bullets. They're growing experience. And here's a good thing, I guess you say. Probably not going to be drafted and won't play in the NFL after this year. Probably not. Right, Lauren? Hang on 1 second, Lauren. Let me get your audio up. 1 second. It's my fault. I think I lowered it. Hang on 1 second. Yeah. Probably not going to get drafted in the NFL. If he did, he won't think he'll play. What do you think?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, in all likes and purposes, should be coming back for a second year under Billy Napier. You know, should be a football team that's much improved. But, I mean, we got a long season to go, so we never know. But I think that, you know, one of the things that I look at is look at his body language after Kentucky versus – after USF. I know they won, but he still didn't play particularly well. But he had a smile on his face. Like you said, he looked at everybody. I particularly asked him not only about the check to Justin Shorter, but I also asked him, what is the dialogue like after that? What is the dialogue like between you and Justin Shorter? What is it like between you and Napier? And he even with the smile on his face, he said, Coach Napier and I talked about that for 2 minutes. So for 2 minutes, they talked about that particular play. Napier's coaching him hard. He's listening to the coaching. And the young man, I mean, what young man who grew up in Gainesville doesn't want to do his very best for the University of Florida? He'll continue to grow, and I think his confidence is improving. I think if you look at his body language after, when he walked in, I kind of looked behind me. He and Montrell Johnson walked in. And the two of them never stopped smiling. They were joking with one another. They were giggling kind of as Coach Napier was finishing up. And I think that his confidence is improving. I think that he knows that he has – I think when a quarterback truly loses their confidence is when they no longer have the support of the team. And I think his team is fully behind him. So – I think that one of those things, it's just going to continue to be, like I said earlier this week, you know, when a three-point shooter is in a slump, what are they telling? Keep shooting. Or go to the foul line, get a free throw, see the ball go in. I think if he can get himself into where he gets in to make some simple routine throws, even those little screens they like to throw out there, you know, let one of them go for 10 to 15 yards a couple times. You know, it could be like, wow, here comes the lights coming on. And the other thing is I think we as media and fans have to understand is, you know, when you go to USF and you go to Kentucky and you go to Eastern Washington, when you walk into any of the offices there, it says Coach Mike Stoops. It says Coach Jeff Scott. It says, you know, Coach Kyle Whittingham. And what I mean by that is they're working hard too. They're just as educated on the game, just as professional, and they've been at it a long time, and they're going to use whatever means they have at their disposal to stop a young man that, if you let him get loose, can literally win a football game by himself. So, you know, Billy Napier will continue to work. but these other teams are going to as well. So it's not always indicative of what kind of player Anthony Richardson is. Sometimes, like Billy Napier said, it's the job that the coaches that you're coaching against and playing against and the work that they've done as well. So I think from what I saw, I mean, I guess the biggest indication where his confidence is the fact that I saw a young man beat, disheveled, kind of down on himself after Kentucky. And after a similar performance, walk in with a smile on his face, extremely engaging. And I think it's somebody who, you know, before he was like, okay, what is Sunday going to look like after Kentucky? I think after USF, he was like, I can't wait to get back to work Sunday, I think would be the biggest difference. So
good point. All right, so here's where we're going to wind up today. Thank you guys for doing this today. This has been interesting. We got to show up too, even on days when it's hard, when things ain't working, the computer's down, and you can't find that sound bite. I don't know if I can see Ben, and I don't know if Lauren's hearing me and all that. We got to show up and do our job, which is to come on here on Sunday and talk to the fans. This is what this show does. The rest of the shows are a little bit different. This show is about talking to Gator fans, which is why I love you guys, because you're so candid and not afraid to say what's good as well as what might concern you. So let's end it up with each of us coming up with something that we thought was good. Could be a short clip, one play, whatever. You mentioned a couple of things. Good insights, Lauren, to the demeanor of the players, to Montrell and Anthony coming in, smiling, laughing. Address Ben, good point that he addressed these issues man-to-man. That's something they'll build on. So tell me, what is the one thing that encouraged you the most about last night's game? Forget the score. Forget the near disaster. Forget all that. What did you take away? You say, Coach Troop, what's the one moment that you enjoyed the most that it gave you the most encouragement about last night's win over South Florida, 31-28?
The one thing that encouraged me the most was the fact that the one running back that I don't think has gotten the game yet since he's these last year, and that's Lorenzo Lingard. After the game, he was the first one to go down there and listen to the band play the team song. The reason why I think that's the biggest is this. I said this before the season. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody can star in their role. Sometimes that's what you're supposed to – I'm supposed to star in my role. Lorenzo Lingard has been there longer than any running back on the roster, and he do not make waves. He do not say anything. And he was a five-star that transferred in from Miami. Sometimes you have to learn how to be a teammate first. And that's what I took the most. It's like, guys, Shamar James and those guys getting in, they getting in quicker than they thought they would and different stuff and pick sixes. What I can appreciate the most about the game is we did not fold. Think about this. If I'm a running back at Florida, I love what's going on. Oh, my God. We are the backbone of the team right now, right? Because what you rather have? AR-15 lined up for 315 yards, 4 touchdowns, and we lose? We're going to complain about the run game. Nope. I can appreciate the run game is going to be the staple. Lorenzo Lingard is showing these young pups how to be great teammates. And what you said, Lauren, this man went from not smiling a week ago to smiling. And I had a worse performance yesterday than I did the week before. That says a lot. Because you know what Montrell told AR, I believe? Well, you all right, man. You good. You need your teammates to lift you up. My coach in Florida, in the NFL told me, we don't do football right. I don't need you when I score. I need you when I don't. I don't need you when I'm balling. I need you when I'm not. The two things AR-15 did 2 weeks in a row is this. Most quarterbacks throw picks and watch the guy who get the pick run for a touchdown. Not on AR. Running him down. Oh, no. The play isn't over. That's a football player. So, for me, sometimes, hey, man, we ain't got a bunch of stars on this team. We got a bunch of guys that star in their role. And once we do that, you got a bunch of role players, I think we're going to be just fine, man. I mean, Billy Napier is the guy for the job. Because just like AR, people kind of look at him like this, too. He knows who is this guy for. He knows it. He knows it. But at the same time, it's what you said, Lauren. Ain't but one Billy Napier. Everybody can talk it. Everybody can't do it, though. Everybody can talk about, I can tell you what should have happened, but I ain't out there. Huh? If it's hot in the stands, what you think it is on the field? Okay. So, but Lorenzo Lingard, I applaud you, sir, because it is hard to show up every single day with my uniform on during the weekend on Saturday. I know I'm not gonna get no burn. That's hard to do. That is hard to do, but he's doing it. I hope he gets a chance to get in there for real. But even if he doesn't, if everybody at Florida can emulate what Lorenzo Lingard does every single day, we got a shot to be a hell of a football team this year. Learn from the guy who don't even get on the field what it takes to really, you know, what it takes to really be a Florida Gator today. And I'm not saying guys ain't doing it, but I appreciate that. But they got a picture of him standing there by himself because the game is getting ready to be over and he ain't even getting no burn. I mean, anybody that's ever played sport knows if I ain't playing, man, I will come the biggest cancer you've ever seen. You don't hear a peep out of that young man. So shout out to them. Shout out to guys like Lorenzo, AR, keep smiling. And Billy Knapp, man, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Best thing you saw last night, Lauren?
8 minutes to go. Anthony Richardson throws what I think is a disastrous interception. And the Florida defense, for all the issues that they've had, things like that, force a third and long with their play. Bring Cox, you know, particularly ups his play on that drive. And Travis Johnson comes up with an amazing interception. And basically that was the series that won the game for the Florida Gators. And what I'm saying is I saw a team that continues to stick together, doesn't hang their head. A lot of coaches have a comment where they say one more point, which means if we only score 3 points, we can only give up two. And I think that the Florida defense came out, got the stop they needed, put the game away. And I think that was the, you know, I mean, to have the fortitude to go back out there, not hang their heads, bow up, and play their best when Florida needed it the most, I think that was the most impressive for me.
Well said, and I'm going to say again what I said earlier. I was so impressed with Brenton Cox. And Jervon Dexter, boy, is he a force or what? And Big Dez. Dez Watson. Big Dez Watson was a big factor last night. He plugged
Big Dez
up. He was balling, man, I'm telling you. And so that to me was encouraging. They had to win that game on defense and stops and a little bit of good luck, you know, and things falling their way. And again, that's Swamp Magic. Let me just say, shout out to the fans because they showed up, and in moments there late in the game when South Florida was trying to get the first down. They were loud. I mean, really loud. And even, I think it was, I forget which one of the commentators said it, but I've been here before. I'm telling you, this ain't easy when you got this noise. So the fans played a role that helped Swamp Magic. And I think attitude was good. So all in all, it wasn't a terrible night because we get back 10 years from now, we'll look back here and say, okay, there were 2-1. We ain't going to remember a lot of this stuff. We'll say, oh, they won that game. And they won 8 games that year, and that led Billy to do this, and then he went on to win 10. It's a stepping stone. Both of you put it in perspective. We're not going to run and hide. We're not going to make excuses for AR-15. We're not going to make excuses for anybody. They messed up. They made mistakes, but they showed up, and they faced them, and they responded, and I think they're growing. And Gator fans, I know it's not easy. There was some frantic moments in the Swamp last night. I got all kind of words written down in this notebook about, oh my gosh, what happened here? So it happens. It was a scary night, but you know what? The University of Florida Fighting Gators prevailed and got the W. We'll go out with this, and remember, again, this is what we're about. We're going to have this set up for you folks soon so you can all jump in on it. This is Taking the Pledge. The lovely lovely Marcia and Jen going around baptizing people and getting them in the orange and blue bloods, because this is what we do on Sunday morning, guys. We let Ben preach, and then we just say amen, and we go. This is what it's like. This is how you get to be a blue blood.
Repeat after me. I believe in the boys and girls of old Florida.
I believe in the boys and girls of old Florida.
In all kinds of weather.
In all kinds of weather.
And I won't back down.
And I won't back down.
Chomp.
There it is, folks. Thanks, Ben. And thanks, Lauren. We'll talk to you Monday night.